Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Pit Pass Moto, the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. I'm PJ Doran.
And I'm Dave Sulecki.
This week on Pit Pass, we'll be talking to Moto America racer Tyler O'Hara. Pit Pass Moto, of course, is sponsored by Moto America. We've got one more race this season I'm looking forward to, Dave. Laguna Seca, the Battle of the Baggers, the final round of the series. Sadly, we'll not have fans on hand, but it is going to be some impressive action. And I know you and I have talked a bunch about the baggers. That's just one of the stories. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of racing in all the classes, and we'll be able to check it out on Moto America Live Plus. Go to MotoAmerica.com. You'll be able to find out all the ways that you can watch around the country, as we won't be able to attend, but it's going to be a heck of a finish this season. Wouldn't you agree, Dave?
Absolutely, and I really can't wait to see King and the Baggers, man. Seeing those bikes go around that course, it's going to be amazing.
And all the guys they've got in it, it is a bunch of who's who of the fastest road racers we've seen in America and builders. It's going to be a cool event all the way around. We're going to see some bikes we've never seen and some riders we might not have seen in a little while. So really looking forward to it. You'll be able to catch up with it on MAV TV, Fox Sports, and of course, as I mentioned, Moto America Live Plus has incredibly good all-day coverage of all racing events, so make sure you get out there and tune in. For the latest in the road racing news, well, this weekend we had the Aragon GP won by one Mr. Rins over Alex Marquez. Marquez was on the podium 2 weeks in a row for Alex Marquez. Of course, we're familiar with the family name. His brother has been historically very fast at Aragon. This year, Alex makes the podium in second place over Joan Mir. Currently, overall, that title race has Joan Mir sitting on 121 points with Fabio Quartararo, who had a disastrous weekend in 18th place, sitting on 115 in second place. Maverick Vinales, 109, and Andrea Dovizioso sitting at 106. This is anybody's race to the end of the season. No one has shown any dominance, so I'm looking forward to how this season wraps up. Keep an eye on it. World Superbike, some great racing from Aragon. Roz Gatliaglu gets the race one win over Chaz Davis, and our American hero, Garrett Gerloff, makes the podium in third. Race two saw Chaz Davis taking the top step with Redding in second and Roz Gatliaglu in third place. Ray, of course, was crowned with his sixth overall title. Congratulations, Mr. Ray. You are a man about the business of winning World Superbike titles. And finally, Daytona went down in the American Flat Track Series. In Production Twins, race one, Johnny Lewis, first win ever for Royal Enfield in American Flat Track. They won it with Johnny Lewis at the helm. Corey Texter took second place. Ben Lowe took third. That was the Production Twins class from race one. In Super Twins race one, Brandon Robinson over Briar Bauman and Jared Vanderkooy in third. Race two saw Corey Texter in the Production Twins class on top of the podium, with Johnny Lewis bringing Royal Enfield yet another podium, with Ben Lowe in third place again. In the Super Twins, Robinson did the double, won again with Jared Mees in second, and Halbert coming home in third. That hands the title after the final race to Briar Bauman. Congratulations, Bauman. He joins formerly crowned James Rispoli with the Production Twins title. And now Briar Bauman gets his first AFT title. Congrats again to Bauman. What do we have in the off-road world?
We had racing in Europe this last weekend at Lommel, Belgium, MXGP racing on Sunday. And in the MXGP class, Tim Geiser, the points leader in MXGP, won with a 2-1 on his Honda, followed by Gaultier Paulin on his Yamaha with a 1-5. And Jorge Prado finished out third on his KTM with a 3-4. So that kind of didn't really change the point standings. Geiser still leads with 488. Tony Cairoli, who really had a bad weekend in the sand in Belgium, struggled a little bit. He's sitting on 440 points, so he's 48 points back on Geiser, followed by Jeremy Sewer with 429. So that's your standings in MXGP. So five more rounds to go in MXGP racing, so we'll see how that shakes up the points. That's 10 motos to see some things happen. In MX2 class, Tom Vielle continues to just win every weekend on his KTM. He finished 2-2 for first overall, followed by Iago Gerts, the Belgian rider, finished second with a 4-1, and Ben Watson on his Yamaha finished third with a 1-5. So your MX2 standings, Tom Vielle continues to lead. The French rider's just been on fire this year. 569 points leads Iago Gerts with 516 points, so 53 points back, and followed by then Maxime Renault with 407. So that's your MXGP reporting. Really great racing, and they're going to be in Lommel for the next two rounds. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. This week's Pit Pass trivia question is, the American Motorcyclist Association awards three Supercross championships each year. So name all three. We'll be back with our trivia question answer right after our interview with Tyler O'Hara.
Welcome today to Pit Pass Moto. Returning one, Tyler O'Hara, crazy fast rider, currently on the Indian Bagger S&S bike. Welcome back to Pit Pass, Tyler. Tell us about your upcoming ride, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, no, I'm super excited to be riding for Indian Motorcycle, S&S, proven performance since 1958. It's an excellent opportunity for myself to showcase the new Indian Challenger. I'm super excited for this weekend at Laguna Seca. Looking forward to it.
And this is a first ever event like this, Tyler. So you've had some involvement, as I understand, in the development of what is now called a race bike. We might not have said so a year ago. Now we're calling it a race bike. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I when opportunity kind of presented itself, I wasn't really sure about the idea. But, you know, having the whole crew behind me and being a part of the development, making it what it is now, it's definitely come a long way, and pretty happy with the way where we're at right now.
Did you have any involvement in like the XR 1200 series when that was happening, the Harley spec class that happened for a while in our Moto America series?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we kind of got in when it first started on the XR 1200, and, you know, racing the V10 for 5 years, and, you know, as this years passed, we definitely got the bike more developed and more fine-tuned, and that definitely helped bring some of that experience into this project and have a direction.
And were there a lot of lessons? I mean, at the basis, they're both large V twins. The XR was a little more svelte, if one will, than the Bagger started life as, your Indian Challenger, but it's a level playing field, so I think that's directly comparable. You think it definitely helped you with your development procedure?
Yeah, absolutely. Just the ergonomics, rider position, our trail numbers, our swing arm angle, our swing arm wheelbase, and just kind of understanding how you got to ride the V-twins. And to be honest, this Indian Challenger's, it's better than my XR 1200 ever was.
I'm kind of curious, Tyler, when you say that, what's it, in what ways? I mean, is it just simply the horsepower, how it produces torque, or is it the handling, or a little bit of all of that?
Yeah, it's a combination. You know, it's got more torque, obviously, than the XR 1200, and the power
We got a quick shifter on this thing. It's real tight. The transmission's tight. It shifts. It revs. It's got all the modern day electronic technology, so we can adjust, throttle position. If it's too torquey, I can detune it a little bit. So there's kind of some superbike aspect of it as that. And then just the chassis, it doesn't have the Milwaukee wobble. Let's just say that you can really ride the wheels off of it. We got a slipper clutch in it as well, which really makes a big difference on corner entry and, you know, having the adjustable turbo clamps and adjusting the rake every step of the way. Obviously it's going to be a little heavier. The SNS guys have taken 200 pounds off the stock version, and obviously, you know, you're always asking for a little bit more power and a little lighter, but you know, we're in a really good spot and really, really feel comfortable on the bike.
It's fascinating some of the trick stuff they've done for you for that, and they've sounds to me like they've personalized it almost to you and your stature, your techniques. And I got the big question is, are you able to hang off on that bike?
Yeah, you know, I was a little nervous, to tell you the truth, just because it's such a big bike. Indian Motorcycle was kind enough to send me the stock Indian Challenger, so I got to ride it around before I got to head out to the race bike, and I got to work directly with the Polaris engineers and the team at SNS Cycles. You know, they have the 3D CAD design, and basically I was able to sit on the bike. I put some telephone books under my butt on the seat because, you know, we had an idea of what seat height wanted it to be, and just the foot pegs position rear sets basically are back where the passenger foot pegs are, and they're up quite a bit and getting the bike a lot more narrow. So every step of the way, they've just kind of given me the ball and let me roll with it. And they said, hey, we're building this bike for you. And just if there's something you want to change, just let us know. And they've definitely done everything that they can to make the bike comfortable for myself.
And is it giving you warnings when you're riding it, Tyler? I mean, casing out hard parts of a motorcycle hitting the ground, any racer knows, bad program, don't want to be involved because it tends to lift the tires off the ground. Is there any concern about that kind of stuff? I mean, clearly it was able to, a whole field of dudes could race XR1200s without hitting the cases on the ground. Is it going to be the relatively similar, like it's not that big of a challenge to keep it off the ground?
Well, I was lucky enough to actually ride the stock Indian Challenger at a track day at Laguna Seca. And that was a big eye-opener that we needed to really work on our ground clearance. And the guys, like I said, SNS, we've got an adjustable shock length, and we've got the swing arm angle up quite a bit more, so the bike's a lot more front-end bias. And we got the FTR 1200 forks on there, so they're an inch longer in the front as well. And the bike's a lot more narrow without the footrest in the front, you know, the traditional foot pedals for the stock bagger. But, you know, we're really good going to the left. And then, you know, the right, we're still at, I think we're at 58 degree lean angle on our lean angle test. So we can really lean them over, and I can drag knee. And the main thing was just really working on getting that thing so I can hit the apex and rolling through the corner without, you know, running wide on the exit. And I think we're in a really good spot now.
And the power is clearly more than enough for the field, I would have to think. Dave and I were talking about it off air before the show. We're stoked for this. I think the level of fan excitement on this race in particular is an all-time high, man. It's what do you think about that?
I think it is too. You know, I think, you know, you got your loyal Indian fans, diehard fans, you know, and Indians kind of revolutionizing the modern day American V-twin bagger with their technology and engineering and the backing of Polaris, and just the whole team is really behind it. The new motor, the power plant that they got on there, and the water cooled. And then you have the diehard Harley fans that are just, you know, loyal Harley fans. And there's a rivalry that goes back to the early 1900s and Indian Motorcycle since 1901. People are just excited. They don't really know what to expect. And, you know, when I kind of got into this project, I wasn't really sure what to expect either, but it's a great opportunity for myself. And I think we're going to blow some people's minds, really, considering, you know, no one really knows what to expect, but I think we're going to be riding, rolling around pretty fast, and it's going to be definitely entertaining for sure.
Who are you looking out for on the racetrack the most? I know you've got some former competitors you've faced off with before. Who are you looking forward to or not facing again?
Well, I think the big bike, you know, the Task Performance, the turbocharged bike, it's pushing over 200 horsepower that Travis Wyman's riding. For sure, that's definitely going to be a challenge. You know, and then the other Indian motorcycle, Frankie Garcia, you know, he's on the same bike that I'm riding. Basically, SNS has sent him all the parts over that we're running. So I think he's definitely going to be a contender. And you have guys like Ben Bostrom racing, Michael Barnes, he's an old rival there. Josh Chisholm, the list goes on and on. Corey West. I mean, we're talking, there's some serious depth in this race. And I think just riding within my limits and not overriding the bike, I think we're going to be in a good spot.
There's a little bit of an us versus them feel to it. And it's what I like about this is it opens up road racing to a part of the market that probably doesn't always pay attention to it. So for that reason, it's exciting to talk about. It'll maybe a little bit polarizing if you go on the internet. You kind of read it both ways, but I think overall it's going to be a good thing, and I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. Just having the manufacturing Indian Motorcycle behind me and the Vance and Hines team, SNS, they're building a proper bike as well. And for Indian, you know, this is a big opportunity for them to crack into the marketplace of the baggers. For everyone out there after this race, you know, you should go definitely do a demo. You can do a side by side. You can see what all the hype's about because it is polarizing. And I do believe we have the best bike.
Tyler, what do you got going on besides this awesome race this weekend? It's been an absolutely unprecedented, uncharted year for literally everyone in every single walk of life category, job description, whatever. What do you got going on next?
Well, you know, it has been a challenging year for sure for everybody. I've just tried to rise above and just stay positive. And the silver lining is, you know, we had Daytona 200 in March, and we're really trying to go after that Daytona 200, win that Rolex. And we were postponed till October, and then we got postponed till 2021. But besides that, I've been mentoring and coaching quite a bit lately. So I've been staying out of the track, and I got two Ninja 400s I do rental coaching programs with. I was able to work with Hayden Mang. He ran the Ovalle Junior Cup class all the rounds this year. And then this weekend, actually, at Moto America, I have Max Toth debuting on my Ninja 400 Floyd the Leadville T3 racing bike. And he's a young talent that's been racing the Italian CIV Moto Championship, National Championship. And we built him a bike that I would compete on to go try to win the class. And I'm really excited to showcase his talents here in America.
That's awesome. Well, we look forward to more from you, Tyler. I hope your racing career is not over. It doesn't seem like it is. Clearly, you're going out for a win this weekend, and we have all faith that you're going to stick it to everybody out there. I really hope we get to see more of you next year, man. I mean, is there anything on tap that we can look forward to talk about?
Well, you know, it's shaping up to be a good relationship with Indian Motorcycle, and I'm working on leveraging the deal, so you might see me maybe at Daytona TT on FTR 750. We'll see.
That would be sweet, and you could go for the doubleheader. I know a couple guys were hoping to do that last year, and to do some damage in the 200 and on the TT would be one heck of a day of racing, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. You know, that's what we live for. And, you know, thank you guys for the support. I really appreciate it. And, you know, we're going to definitely be going for the win and just have the most fun as well.
Well, you are known for doing that, my friend. I can't wait to see you and ride wheelies with you again. I got a Honda Monkey now, so I'll have something for you. And we'll see you at the next racetrack. Thanks again for joining us today, Tyler.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you guys for having me on. Take care.
We'd like to thank our guest today, Tyler O'Hara, for being with us on the show. And this week's Pit Pass trivia question, let me read that back one more time. The American Motorcyclists Association awards 3 Supercross championships each year. Name them. And the answer is they are the 450cc, which was formerly known as the 250cc two-stroke class, and both an East and a West 250cc division, which was formerly the 125cc two-stroke division. And it's an interesting question because that was a huge controversy, I think, back in the day is when the four strokes became very, very popular. What to call these classes? And the AMA went through several versions back in 2007, they started calling it the MX Series and the MX Lights, the Lights being the 250cc class. And they did that till about 2013. And now they've simply renamed it the 450 and 250cc, because that's pretty much where the engine displacements have settled, PJ, where it was kind of in flux there for a while.
Absolutely. And you had guys in the early days of the 450 class and a bit longer in the 250 class, right, competing on those equivalent two-stroke machines. You definitely did see those bikes out there, not regularly, and they phased out pretty quick. There was some overlap, right?
Yeah, there was. You would see 250cc two-strokes out there with the 450cc four-strokes. At the time, when the four-strokes were early on in their development, it was relatively close and they were fairly competitive against each other. But boy, once the 450s started to develop, that landscape changed completely. And you really couldn't compete unless you were on the big bike. And that 250 two-stroke really started to kind of die off and go away. And the same thing happened in the 125cc's riding in the 250cc four-stroke class. They just simply couldn't compete. They couldn't make the horsepower, couldn't get the riders over the obstacles. And once the development grew and the bikes improved, it really kind of changed motocross forever, really.
Yep, it definitely has. And being someone who's aged through it, much like yourself, Dave, the transition, it's now interesting to see with the onset of the TPI bikes that there is more than a little bit of a two-stroke renaissance happening. I would say it is what a lot of our customers are seeking out. You know enough about off-road. They've never gone away from any form of off-road racing, particularly the wood stuff. Two-strokes really seem to be a very prevalent choice in the professional ranks of the off-road series, right?
Yeah, I would say for sure, except for the very premium level. It seems to be the best clubman choice and gets you around the woods much better. It's a lightweight engine and a lightweight bike. So I think it really favors that particular landscape when you're trying to compete versus, you know, big obstacles with short runs that you need instant horsepower. You really could get in a lot of trouble in the woods with a bigger engine, for sure.
In upcoming news this weekend, we have MotoGP at Aragon. It is going to be the second round that they are competing there, much as has been the case this season. They're doing two events from the same facility to maximize time on the ground and limit the disadvantages of having to go through customs with the COVID world we're living in. We also have the final round of our Moto America series. Can't wait to see it. We discussed it earlier in the show, Dave. I'm stoked to see the Baggers, King of the Baggers race, as well as all the other races. And Laguna is just one of the world's most iconic racetracks, the Corkscrew, Turn 1 being what it is, an amazing place to watch races happen. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure we've got some off-road action coming too.
Yes, sir, we do. We've got continued racing in Lommel, Belgium, rounds 2 and 3, I guess you could call them, of the three-race event at the same venue. They're racing actually the 20th and 21st this week, which is Tuesday, Wednesday. And then they're racing again this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, all in Lommel, Belgium. So they'll continue in the sand, and we'll see how that goes and see if championships are wrapped up or not.
Thank you again to our guest, Tyler O'Hara, for being with us today, and thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app where you'll get alerts when new episodes are uploaded. If you have a moment, please rate and review us as well. We really appreciate it. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and pitpassmoto.com, where you can check out our all-new blog.
This has been a production of Evergreen Podcasts. A special thank you to Tommy Boy Halverson, Chris Bishop, producer Leah Longbreak, and audio engineer Eric Coltnow. I'm Dave.
And I'm PJ.
And we'll see you next week.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.